This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, what's happening in San Diego? It is finally a Friday, and it is a Friar Friday. At that, we welcome in to Gwen and Chris Crisello and Matt Scraby together in our Odyssey Palace studios. Tony Gwynn Jr. is in Los Angeles. Beautiful Dodger Stadium, where tonight the Padres and Dodgers will meet for the third time this season. That's right. They played the two in Korea. Now they start a three-game series in L.A., and we will have game one for you tonight right here on 97.3 The Fan. After our program, 6 o'clock pregame show with Sam Levitt and 7:10 first pitch tonight. We've got it's a great day. Not only is it day two of the Masters, we're keeping an eye on that right now, but our Friar Friday interview, Joe Musgrove, and he's going to join us in about 15 minutes, so don't go anywhere. We'll have Joe on the program. But even better than that, I have something better than that planned for the show today. Even better than that. If you stay around and you are tuned in the 3:30 segment today, you will hear, among other things, Tony Gwynn Jr. sing.
Many times, too.
Hear it many different times. Our countdown will feature some singing today. You will find out about that a little later in the show. Tony, how are things in L.A. today?
Very overcasty today.
Yes, here too.
Little chilly, but this is one of the places I enjoy coming to watch a baseball game. It's got some history stand that's connected to it, and you get a nice Padre Dodger matchup. Now, for being honest, these matchups during the regular season have not gone the Padres' way. I remember when I walked in here today, I turned to Dave and I just said, "You know, I don't have very many good positive memories about this place. Not enough, at least. You know, the playoff game here is one. A Toddy going big fly out of the stadium here, but it hasn't been all that great coming to this place."
No, and the numbers support that, Tony Gwynn Jr. I looked at it yesterday while Scraby and I were wrapping things up, getting prepared for the start of this series. And if you leave out the Padres winning that playoff series a few years ago, and there's no way to leave it out, we'll never forget it here, but the last 13 years, the Dodgers have won the season series every single time. That is a kind of domination that if I'm a Padre and I'm the Padres, I would like to put an end to that somehow this season. And not only have they lost the season series 13 years in a row, but the overall record in that time, Padres against the Dodgers, Padres are 76 games under 500. So yeah, we gotta turn that around, and hopefully it'll start tonight with Michael King on the mound against Yoshi Yamamoto of the Dodgers. Good story in the paper today. Padres feeling very good about things so far this season, Tony, and I think there's a lot of reason to feel good. The fact that they are scoring runs, it hasn't been maybe as consistent as they'd like, but as I pointed out the other day, this is the Dodgers, the greatest team baseball's ever seen. They've only scored one more run than the Padres have through 15 games, and the Padres are also number two in baseball in home runs, And they're number one in baseball at putting up big innings, 4 or 5 run innings. So they're scoring runs. They're hitting with runners in scoring position. The starting pitching, by and large, has been great. And the bullpen is still a work in progress. But I just think, even though we like to say it's early, there are a lot of things to like about what we've seen so far.
Yeah, and, you know, we said that in the roundtable yesterday. There's really a lot to like about the team. I know wins and losses isn't – to me, the wins and losses don't align for what we've seen most of the season, right? I mean, the Padres have been in position to win most of these games, and a lack of execution there, maybe a bad walk here has them in the position they're in. And I think they are – the thing that – why I'm encouraged by that is because this team, I think, is capable – of doing those things that they haven't done consistently. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
We said it yesterday, and I truly feel like that everybody was being honest. A lot to be encouraged about in the early going of this season. And so when you really break it down, you got 2/3 of the lineup, you know, doing what they need to do. There's just the middle third is just hasn't gotten going yet. And I think everybody believes that once they get going, and they will get going, you're going to see more consistency in terms of the runs, I think.
You know, this isn't a yearly thing, but it seems like it to a certain extent that we get into the late or middle. We're in the middle of April, for heaven's sakes. We're not even in late April yet. But we get to the middle of April, and somebody somewhere looks at Manny Machado and all of a sudden gets worried that, you know what, this is the year that he's not going to do it. He's only got 2 home runs. He's only got 7 RBIs. He's hitting a paltry .220. He struck out 15 times in 15 games. The shoulder's bothering him. Why do we waste our time with this thought process?
I don't know.
Has anybody looked at the back of this guy's bubble gum card? You have, Tony.
Yes.
It's always 30 home runs. It's always 100 RBIs. The batting average might go 260 up to 280. But please, if you want to worry about the bullpen a little bit, because that's still a work in progress, fine.
Right.
If you want to be concerned that, you know, maybe Jerks and Profar's not going to keep up this pace, if you want to be concerned about this, that, and the other, but stop wasting everybody's time by being worried about Manny Machado. I mean, this guy has done it for well over a decade, and I'm certain he's going to do it again. Right?
Yeah, no, I think he is, too. I think it's, again, it's at this point, he's earned the right for everybody to chill. It just back, even last year would seem like a bad year for Manny. When you go back and you look at his numbers, they're almost on par with what he does every single year. He might have been a little short in the RBI category, but everything else is right where he normally is. And I don't even know that he was that short in the RBI category. I think he was right at his average, at least. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's just the last guy that I'm worried about. And plus, he's shown some signs. I mean, the last, you know, 2 games, I think he's gotten 2 hits, back-to-back games. He's gotten extra base hits in those games, and he's doing it in the middle of the field. So I think, you know, and plus I've been kind of seeing some of the work he's doing behind the scenes. I think it's just a matter of time. That shoulder gets healthier, I think his swing is only going to get healthier.
When can we expect to see him? Nobody knows the answer, but when do you kind of get a sense that, you know, he's going to make it and be back at third base, Tony? I mean, are we looking into May probably? Should we just kind of table that for the rest of this month?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I think there's a chance that he could be, you know, back out there into this month. I don't know. It's hard to tell because they don't keep that pretty close to the vest, but just based on which
of your songs, I enjoy watching Padre baseball, from hitting to pitching to field to running to everything. Watching Manny Machado play third base is way up near the top of the list that is fun to just watch.
That's fair.
And we all miss it, you know? I mean, every time the ball goes anywhere down near third base, I mean, I'm up the edge of my seat to see what he's going to do. And so it'll be fun when he gets back in there. Right next to him, Ha-Seong Kim. Your thoughts on him through 15 games, Tony? You know, too early for an overarching evaluation. But, you know, he doesn't seem like he's quite right yet.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't seem like he's quite right. Now, he doesn't have a shoulder that he is trying to get back to 100%. But he just seems a little out of whack a little bit at the plate. I don't, without getting too technical, it just seems like he's not keeping his posture. He's kind of, his body's kind of out of position. And but he's also done some nice things here in that last game. So he may very well be starting to come out of it as well. It's early. Those two guys specifically have, you know, last year at least were both key cogs, or expected to be key cogs this year. And, you know, they've gotten off to a slow start. And I think that's why you've seen the Padres record be right at 500. They don't have everything going on all cylinders. And even when they are fully intact and everybody's swinging the bat well, they don't have a large margin for room for error anyway.
Right. So, we talked about that. Yeah.
And so the fact that they are where they are, despite not everybody on all cylinder, I think is encouraging.
I'm encouraged. I think everybody is a little bit after the game on Wednesday. They put it all together in a 10-2 win over the Cubs. I know that the third member of this program, who we've yet to hear from today.
No, I know. It's been quiet.
Mr. Scraby over here. He has been prancing.
He might not be paying attention to the show.
No, he is. He's been prancing up and down the hallways, ecstatic and thrilled for tonight's game against the Dodgers, because he is smelling a hot streak based on one win on Wednesday. And, you know, it's very Scraby of him. But you are really geeked up for this series.
Yeah, I don't know why I'm living and dying so much by every game this year. I know it's been like that in the past, but this year I feel like I'm super excited about every single game because I want to see them get into a groove and win 7 in a row. Why can't they do that? The Royals can do it. Why can't they do it, Chris?
I don't know. It took till September last year to win 4 in a row. So let's just get to that number first, and then we'll worry about 7 in a row. But I would say this, and no matter when it happens, if they were able to come into Los Angeles this weekend, it would be a nice little statement. I mean, if they were able to bring a broom out and sweep a series in L.A., something that really hasn't happened in a long, long time, I'd have to look to find the last time that's actually happened. But, you know, an early season little tap on the shoulder to the Dodgers to just remind them that, you know, we plan on being around this year. So I think there's a little, you know, little added importance. And again, you know, with the schedule the way it is, you don't get to play the Dodgers as much as you used to. So you have to take advantage of the chance when you get it.
I think there should be some excitement about this series. I mean, you get to play. It's still the Dodgers, right? It's still Dodgers Padres. So regardless of how it's fared the last, you know, 13 seasons, I think at least for now, you know, as it starts anew, we can all should be excited about it.
Well, I can tell you how big of a game this is. Sam Levitt is in Los Angeles to do the pregame show on site at Dodger Stadium.
Come on now. You know Sam's out there.
It doesn't get a whole lot bigger than that. So
no, it doesn't. Not a surprise that Sam is up here in L.A.
He's
getting
there,
ready to give you all access as per
that's
usual.
That's right. You will get it all, and we will give everything to you before he comes on at 6 o'clock. As I said, really good four-hour show planned today. Joe Musgrove is going to join us in less than 10 minutes, so don't go anywhere. Our countdown in the 3 o'clock hour is a really funny and good one today, so make sure you're around for that. The Daily Gambit, Chris versus the fans, the Big Five. It is Friar Friday, and it is Dodger Padre Friday. Doesn't get a lot better than that. Glad you're with us, Gwynn and Chris, on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
2:18 on the clock. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Matt Scravey. Friar Friday often brings the goods. Today's guest on Friar Friday, none other than Padres starter Joe Musgrove, joins us right now here on Gwynn and Chris. Joe, how are you today, my friend?
Gentlemen, what's going on? Before we get started, I just want to bring something to your attention. I don't know if Scravey mentioned anything to you guys, but his name is not being held in very high regard in the Padre clubhouse right now. He gave a lot of dudes in here the cold shoulder yesterday, and some guys just aren't happy about it. So
cold shoulder yesterday, the other day.
Joe. It's funny you mentioned that, because he said yesterday that he was in the area and he made reference to the fact that he didn't actually say hi. And I asked him, I was like, hey, man, you were on the field and you actually didn't say hi to Joe while you were down. So apparently it wasn't just you. It was a lot more than just you.
It seems like it, man, you know. God.
Oh, that's terrible.
You have no
Scraby.
Idea how much I'm crawling out of my skin right now.
Scrave, I'm messing with you, dude. You know what's funny, dude, is my mom actually called me yesterday. She loves the show. She listens to you guys daily. So she called me and she goes, I know you're going on the show tomorrow. You got to give Scraby some trash talk and wear him out a little
I
bit.
I love it.
They're joking about it, but we love you, Scraby.
All right, thanks. Thank you very much.
That would be hilarious if Manny Machado and Fernando Tatis were over in the corner going, can you believe that guy won't even come over and say hi to
us? I'm just trying to stay out of the way, okay? I'm just trying to stay out of the way. But thank you for that. That was great. That was
very
great.
Good. Yeah. Very good.
So what's going on, guys?
I don't know.
Tony, you're on the show. I guess we should be asking you questions as opposed to the other way around. So, you guys come here to Dodger Stadium. This place has not been very good to this ball club, this organization, in quite some time. I mean, obviously it's early in the season, Joe, but you know, I would imagine that you guys are tired of coming in here and getting your butts whooped.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of that is. Brought to the surface by the fans and, the excitement of the series and whatnot. But, I just feel like we feel like a different team this year mentally. We feel like we're very confident and secure in the work that we've been putting in and where we're at as a group. So coming in here, it has a little bit different of a feeling. We just feel really good about where we're at and taking care of our business.
Joe, can you be a little more specific on some of the things that you're seeing from this ball club 15 games in that makes you believe, maybe you personally and the team believe that this season's going to be a whole lot more different than things turned out last year?
Yeah, I think just the overall engagement from the group as a whole, starting with Shilty, he's laid out a really good foundation for how things are going to go this season. He's put the right people in place. The staff has been incredible. They're here hours before any of us, prepping and getting things ready, always available to us. And guys are taking more ownership of the routines. There's a little bit more freedom in there to kind of create your own routine and do what you want. We have, daily sessions of these guys breaking down the game and, talking about where we can be better, definitely celebrating the good things. But, a lot of that comes from Shilty and his program from the top down. So it's been really good. On the pitching side, Ruben and Fritz and Petey that put together our reports and do the day-to-day stuff with us. They're dialed in. Everything's been running smooth. So I think now we're starting to settle into the regular routine after the trip to Korea and getting into the flow of the season. Things are going to continue to get sharper as we go.
I actually ran into Joe this morning, and it should be to nobody's surprise. He was already studying his next opponent. And Joe, for you, you kind of gotten off to a little bit of a slow start there the first couple. I mean, just talk about the difficulties, and I know you're not here to make excuses, but again, having to try to set yourself up, you're going to Korea, you're coming back home, the season's kind of pausing, then you're kind of ramping back up again for your next start. Was it difficult, even though you kind of knew what was ahead of you and you were actually healthy this year, was it still difficult kind of getting yourself where you wanted to be, though?
Yeah, I mean, I think physically just getting there, mentally I felt really good about it. You know, we were aware of this trip for a long time, so I had time to prepare, and you try to create your routine to be, you know, ready a little bit sooner in the year. But, you know, sometimes you just don't get the response from your body that you're hoping for, and, you know, you haven't had the reps, you know, to get the feel right and get everything dialed in. You know, that's at least personally for me. So I feel good about it. I, you know, mentally learned a lot from it. I learned a lot about, you know, how impactful your self-talk is. There's a lot of hesitation going to that series for me, especially with the big layoff and, you know, just a lot of questions. So, yeah, I feel like I learned a lot from it. And I feel like as we go here and get more consistent routine, I'm gonna start to sharpen up.
Joe Musgrove is with us. It's Friar Friday. We are always ecstatic to have Joe on. And, Joe, this weekend you're not scheduled to start. So what is this weekend like for you? Tony said you're already preparing for Monday in Milwaukee. Can you over-prepare for anybody? And is it nice sometimes to just have a weekend where you know you're not going to play? Or is that trouble for you?
I mean, honestly, the most stressful days are the days between starts. You know, game day is your easiest day. I don't show up to the field until, you know, 3:30 on a game day, and it's pretty much just get ready to go pitch, and you get to go have fun. So it's these are the more stressful days for me throughout the, you know, the week between starts. But I love it, man. That's what I enjoy about it. Like Tony said, looking at film, you know, that pretty much starts. And for Darvish, it's even another level. You know, we'll finish a game on the road and we're on the bus to the airport and he's already got the next team's footage up and every flight he's on film. That guy he obsesses over it. But it does. I mean, for both of us, I feel it creates a lot of confidence in your game and gives you the ability to go out and trust your pitches when you know, where the holes are. So a lot of that stuff, and then a lot of physical work, throwing our bullpens, getting our lifts in, doing all the stuff to physically be ready conditioning-wise. So yeah, a lot more work going on between starts than the actual game day. That's kind of the light day and the fun day for us.
San Diego's own Joe Musgrove joins us here on Gwen and Chris. And Joe, one of the things I've heard you speak about was trying to differentiate your curveball and the slider. It kind of has blended a little bit, according to you. Talk a little bit about that process, because obviously you go to the offseason, you have the time to kind of dissect it a little bit, but does that work continue on through the regular season as you get more and more starts under your belt?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I'm really happy with where the slider's at right now. I'm not, you know, quite satisfied with my ability to locate it consistently like I could my, you know, the old shape of my previous slider. And I used it a lot differently, you know, the type of swings I can get and the counts that I can throw in it, because it's, you know, more of a depthy slider and doesn't have as much carry off the plate. It tends to stay, you know, in the zone and look like a hittable pitch a little bit longer. So I'm just kind of learning the ways of this thing, but I feel really good with it. I'm getting consistent action on it. Finally, I'm starting to be able to trust it to, you know, the locations I'm going to. So, you know, I feel like I'm pitching a bit safe with it at times. You know, I'm not as aggressive attacking in the zone with it, which I can be better at. I feel like I'm good with that, with the curveball going in zone and out of zone, but that's going to continue to sharpen up. I'm working on it, you know, daily out here, so I'm going to start to see some results soon.
Joe, I know that pitching is a bit of a fraternity in the sense that, you know, you probably know a lot of these guys, not just your ball club, but others. And when you see the injuries to Spencer Strider, and then you see Valdez go on the 15 and Josiah Gray on the 15, and, I mean, there's so many names, Garrett Cole coming back. Are you at all concerned as a starting pitcher about all of these injuries? I mean, I don't know how to fix all of this, but does it enter your mind at all? I mean, right now the Padres are pretty healthy, which is a good thing, but the rest of the division, not so much.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the way guys are throwing the ball now, I mean, it's max effort, max intent. You know, the pitches are breaking more than they ever have. They're faster than they ever have been. You know, there's a lot of things that are contributing to the injuries. I don't know what it is. You know, the pitch clock, the sticky stuff, and all the different ideas are probably – a piece of it and a factor of it. I think mechanics are a big factor of it as well. But, yeah, I don't know. There's not an answer to it, but you know what you're signing up for. It's a big risk you take. You get paid a lot of money to do, you know, to do this for a living, and there's a responsibility that comes with it of taking care of your body. And, you know, there's plenty of guys that get hurt that do all those things right. So, no one knows what's going on, man. You hope it's not you, to be honest.
Joe, I have to ask you, I mean, what is your opinion on that? You know, max effort versus maybe throttling back a little bit. What is your take on it?
I mean, it's. I think it's all about efficiency. If your body moves properly and, you know, you put yourself in good positions, it's hard to not go out there and try to throw as hard as you can. You know, you're competing against the best hitters in the world, so I'm going to give you everything I have. I'm not going to hold anything back. It's very hard to you know, manage that. As a starter, obviously, you have to do it. You know, you're obviously not going max effort every single pitch of the game, but you find spots in there to kind of dial it up a little bit, but you try to ultimately just raise your cruising speed, you know, and like the level at which you can maintain for 100-plus pitches. So relievers are a little different. They can come out and kind of blow it out for an inning, and hopefully you're in that, you know, 10 to 13-pitch range. But, yeah, you see it relievers even as innings go on and they get longer. Some guys tend to lose their stuff and fade. It's all conditioning and preparation, and I think the mental aspect of going into it, you know. As a minor leaguer, you're hardly allowed over 7 innings and 100 pitches ever. So you get to the big leagues and you're just kind of trained and ingrained that this is where I start hitting the, you know, the red line. So,
Joe, last thing.
A lot of it could be mental, but, yeah, that's it. Go ahead.
I think we've had confusion on our when to jump in the past, because I think Scraby made a promo out of it one time, and it was pretty funny. Last thing for me, you're not pitching today or this weekend, but can you just give us, as fans, just a little idea what the scouting report is on the Dodgers? I mean, the big bad Dodgers. I mean, what just a general, without being too specific and giving anything away?
Yeah, I mean, they control the zone really well. Don't get into, you know, bad counts often, and I think they thrive on the fear of the power in their lineup of getting ahead in counts and, you know, letting pitchers work from behind and getting better and better pitches to hit throughout the night. So the key with us has always been to attack them, get ahead, control the counts. You know, statistically, they're a significantly, you know, better team when they get in control of counts and they're working from advantage counts. So for us, it's get ahead, stay ahead, and then put them away when you have them at two strikes. You know, we're trying to limit the two strike hits and the free bases.
You guys just got some jewels there from Joe. You can now have a little bit of idea of what's going on when the Padre pitchers are facing this Dodger lineup. Joe, as always, man, you're a wealth of knowledge. We appreciate you coming on and spending some time with us, man.
Always enjoy it, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Joe.
Joe Musgrove there on Friar Friday, giving you the goods, if you will, about this upcoming series against the Dodgers.
And getting Scraby to basically swallow his tongue. I mean, that was hilarious.
I'm not speechless often. I thought I did something wrong. I thought I sat in some chair.
Goodness, that was
and Tony
classic.
Pointed at me. Tony, did you know that was about to happen?
I did.
Oh,
I did.
My God.
That was an awesome Tony, that was an awesome get, guys.
I immediately look at Tony and he's cracking up and I'm like, he's behind some of this.
That was well done.
So he explained it to you. His mom was listening. And it was perfect. It was perfect. Yeah. He kind of alerted me. He was gonna give you some business today.
So well, I'm definitely next time I'm down there going to be walking up to him and shaking his hand and introducing myself.
If it means anything to you, Scraby, you're not really a member of the baseball fraternity until somebody has played some sort of little prank on you.
Very true.
So,
I'll take
very
it.
True.
You
should.
Take
you're
it.
Just
that's
an outsider until
that's right.
Then.
My friend just texted me. OMG. Anyway, that was great. That was great.
Very good.
Good stuff. All right, we got to get to break. When we return, Mike Shildt joined Ben and Woods this morning. We'll have some of that sound for you here on Gwynn and Chris.
Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr. in Los Angeles. Padres and Dodgers coming up a little later on this evening. Matt Scraby still shaking over here to my left. After Joe Musgrove made him think that he had drawn the ire of the Padres clubhouse by being very Scraby-like, which is, you know, not being friendly, not talking to people, not saying hello to anybody.
There's a reason for that, Chris.
I mean, Matt Scraby,
I'm very nervous when I walk in that room.
No,
I mean,
that's ridiculous. Matt Scraby trying to big time the San Diego Padres.
You should be ashamed of yourself,
Scraby. You know, that's uncalled for, and Joe Musgrove was right to
call you out on
critical of you.
I was like,
called you to the carpet, buddy. Mm-hmm.
And this is a sad thing, but I was like, what is he going to choose from? Was it when I ignored him?
You did so many things wrong didn't know which one he was going to pick?
Was it that my Tyler Wade interview
he had
was
multiple
ruined?
Options, yeah, apparently.
Multiple options. Joe Musgrove, always great having him on the show. If you missed any part of it. 97.3thefansd.com or the Odyssey app. Of course, you can enjoy the program on YouTube. You should know that by now. But if you don't, search for 97.3 The Fan. You can watch the proceedings. I got a couple of things, guys. One is something that was really good, and then the other was kind of a negative. Where do you want me to go? Which one do you want to start with, Scrape?
What are we talking about?
Yeah, we're talking my
subject?
Personal experiences from the end of last night's show to the beginning of this one.
Let's go negative first.
Yeah.
Negative, woke up, got in the car today. The emergency light was on. And
your car is new.
Yeah, no, I know. It turned out that it was the tires pressure needed to be checked.
That's not big.
It had gone all. It's big because there's a big nail in my tire.
Okay,
and I'm not pleased by that. And the tires.
Yeah.
Here's my thing. I don't know if you're a tire person out there. Maybe you can help me with a little advice. I got brand new tires. I looked up the got the receipt out, and of course I bought them 1 year and 1 month ago. And I'm just worried that it's a one-year warranty. You know what I'm saying? I'm really hoping that...
That's usually...
You think I'll get a little grace period?
Whenever I buy tires, it's like a mileage thing. Like 60,000 miles or whatever.
It's time or mileage sometimes.
Yeah, I think it's usually whichever comes first, whichever benefits them the most.
Are these the dealership tires?
They are.
Oh, okay.
So I'm hoping they stand behind their product. I'm telling you, dealer out there, my dealership, you better stand behind your product. I'm bringing the car in the morning.
Well, why did you run over that nail?
Yeah, that's my fault. My fault. But here's go ahead.
You got to be more careful.
Yes, right. I can't wait for Lori to tell me that. Honey, you got to watch. Like, yeah, right. You can see every nail in the roadway. She'll say it, though. Don't you put it past her. Here's the cool thing that happened last night. Hats off, rather, to my Thursday night softball team, the One Hit Wonders. That's our name.
That's a great name.
I don't talk much about our softball, except when you get a game like this. It's co-ed league, but we played a team last night that takes things far too serious, right? One of those teams, like taking out our girl second baseman on a double play, like stuff that we're almost getting ready to start fights on, and just screaming and yelling.
Are you kidding me?
It was really annoying. Anyway, what was more annoying was that they were leading us 20-8 going into the bottom of the last inning. We hung a 14 spot on them and beat their behinds.
Chris almost went somewhere else.
Almost went somewhere else. Congrats. Thanks to, I think it was Jason, our slugger, provided the walk-off blow.
Wow.
And we scored 14. And we kind of got together before the last at bat. And we said, you know what, guy? We never win a game like this. We're down by 12. But if we ever were going to do it, this would be the team to do it against.
Yeah.
And then it happened. So we're pretty excited last night.
Were there any trash talking from you towards them after?
Me personally?
No, well, the team.
The only thing I said was when we got the walk-off home run is that we should really celebrate and jump up and down a little extra. And one of the guys on our team said, no, let's handle it, with class. And I said, since when did we start doing that?
Exactly.
Come on. Let's
You're
rub it in a little bit.
Wonders.
Let's rub it in a little bit. So that was nice. Good job by those guys, our guys. All right, we are rolling along here. Mike Schilt was on the morning show with Ben and Woods, and thought a few things that he talked about that I think thought you'd enjoy listening. First up, how he and the Padres are approaching this series against a Dodger team that, as we pointed out earlier, Tony and I, has given the Padres a lot of problems and everybody problems.
We can't ignore the fact it's a rival. There's competition. We're right down the road. We can't ignore that. We won't even try to ignore it. We'll actually embrace it. But personally, we just play baseball, man. We're going to play regardless of who shows up on the schedule, and we're going to prepare to win the game regardless of who's on the schedule. We're going to compete, again, regardless of who the opponent is, and we're going to respect our opponent, and we're not going to make it any bigger than it is. Yeah, was it, going to have a little more, different energy playing in L.A., in that stadium, and, you know, clearly know and respect what they've been able to accomplish. But, you know, I think it's a real trap to make it anything bigger than it is. And it's really about how we compete. And if you look up at the end of the night and, you know, we get after it for the whole entire game, and we have good offensive at bats and handle our situations and execute and play clean defensively and throw strikes and make our pitches, at the end of the day, we'll feel pretty good about being able to shake hands. And that's what our goal is every game against any opponent.
I think that's pretty much really the way players and managers and teams go about it all the time, Tony.
Yeah.
But we fans certainly don't go about it that way, right? I mean, no. To us, it's a little extra special playing the Dodgers. And, you know, we've been licking our wounds here for a long time. I'm not going to say it again, but 13 years is a long stretch of losing a season series. So, you know, I'd love to see the Padres get it turned a little bit this year. And, you know, just tap the Dodgers on the shoulders this weekend and remind them that we're here.
I think overall, from a team standpoint, you have to kind of look at it the way that Mike is looking at it, right? Kind of have to compartmentalize it. But I'm sure, and we know that because we just heard from Joe. They know what's up. They certainly don't like coming in here and getting whooped. And so, you know, regardless of whether the team – idea is, as we go, you know, tire, lace them up and go out here and play no matter who's on the schedule. They all know that there's a little bit of, you know, a little more oomph to this series with the Dodgers versus what it was with the Giants or what it was against the Cardinals or Cubs for that matter. It's a little different.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about it, I think, a little later in the Big Five because I looked ahead at Scraby's notes, but the fact that the schedule is different now in Major League Baseball.
I mean,
you really only get to go to L.A. After this, like, you won't get to go to L.A. again until who knows when, right? August, yeah. September. You don't have the same number of games against your divisional foes as you used to have. And so I think it makes every game feel a little bit more important. All right, here's a subject I'm curious to get your take on too, Tony. Fernando Tatis getting brushed back the other day. He hit the home run, what was it, Monday night? I think,
yes.
In the comeback.
Yes.
And he had been thrown at, yeah, I don't want to say he was moved off the plate before he hit that home run. Get brushed back on Wednesday. I get this from people. I think you do too, Scraby. That we, as the Padres, you know, all of a sudden these people put themselves on the roster. But we don't retaliate enough. And I don't know where that stands with Mike Schilt. So here's what he said about Fernando getting brushed back.
I mean, I don't know what they show during the games. I don't go back and watch the games. You know, they don't need to show me ever. But I've said my piece. I'm not going to run the field and start, you know, throwing blows yet, but I think I made it pretty clear in some circles, you know, that we're not going to tolerate that. So we'll always defend our guy, but there's different ways that gets done. But there's been some dialogue that allows people to know we don't appreciate it.
What does that even mean?
Yeah, I can clear that up as best you can, Tony, because I'm quite sure what he's getting at. Is there another area where that he and other teams can kind of have dialogues about this kind of stuff? Or,
I mean, listen, I think, you know, Schulte is a manager. They talk to each other. They talk to coaches on the staff. And, you know, you can send words through different channels now. I mean, for crying out loud, there's a text message. I mean, you definitely, because, hey, man, you know, however that goes, right?
Yeah.
I think it's a balance that Mike is very, I think, sensitive to. I mean, he's had guys in the past that were of the ilk of Fernando, and you want to protect those guys. But I think also he recognizes that is how teams have to pitch them if they want to have any success in getting him out. They gotta pitch him in. They gotta make him uncomfortable so they can throw that slider off the plate. When it becomes dangerous or when it becomes something that is of concern, trust me, Mike Schilt is gonna be yelling it from across the other dugout, or he's gonna, you know, do it a more diplomatic way and do it through other channels. And so you know, that's just kind of how this game goes. As he said, he is. There are ways that those things get handled, whether people like it or not. That, you know, kind of nip things in the bud, so to speak.
Do you personally, Tony, watching as much, you know, everybody, do you think the Padres get the short end here? I mean, I don't feel that way. I mean, I don't know that every inside pitch deserves, you know, a ball at somebody's head.
No, it doesn't.
So you have to be able to, you know, pick your spots, right?
It doesn't. You got to pick your spots. You know what helps in picking your spots? Either being really bad are being really good in terms of wins and losses. Like, when you're getting your butt kicked every night, you don't care about wins and losses, so you can take more risk. When you're really good, you have some room for error to kind of make these decisions a little more quickly, if you will.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you kind of can't afford to, when you have no or little room for error, margin for error, you got to be more strategic in when you go about those type of things.
Well, I you know, I get this question too. Do you get it more than I do? A lot, Scraby, too?
About the throwing at guys?
Yes. I feel like people are concerned about this. And I don't know why they are.
I feel like I used to get that question a lot more.
Okay.
I think they know what you're going to say at this point, which is, you know, because you've shared your opinion so many times on the show.
No, I just think that people, I don't think it's, the Padres are viewed in the same light that they used to be viewed in, which is that you could just walk all over them. I think that perception has changed a little bit, which is why, you know, I don't think people feel the need to ask that question as much. But certainly in terms of Toddy, you know, you got to, as Mike said, you got to handle it the way you got to handle it.
I think the one at bat last year that people wanted everyone to go nuts was when Manny took it in the back. You know, he took the fastball by the Pirates
pitcher. The Pirates guy, yeah.
And Manny got, like, he dropped the bat because it obviously hurt.
Yeah, it got him good.
It got him good. And I think that's
Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr. in Los Angeles. Padres and Dodgers coming up a little later on this evening. Matt Scraby still shaking over here to my left after Joe Musgrove made him think that he was drawn the ire of the Padres clubhouse by being very Scraby-like, which is, you know, not being friendly, not talking to people, not saying hello to anybody.
There's a reason for that, Chris.
I mean, Matt Scraby,
I'm very nervous when I walk in that room.
No, that's ridiculous. Matt Scraby trying to big time the San Diego Padres.
Just, you should be ashamed of yourself,
that's,
Scraby.
You know, that's uncalled for, and Joe Musgrove was right to
call you out,
critical
on
of you.
I was like,
called you to the carpet, buddy. Mm-hmm.
And this is a sad thing, but I was like, what is he going to choose from? Was it when I ignored
you,
him?
You did so many things wrong didn't know which one he was going to pick?
Was it that my Tyler Wade interview
he had
was
multiple
ruined?
Options.
Yeah, he had multiple options. Joe Musgrove, always great having him on the show. If you missed any part of it, 97.3thefansd.com or the Odyssey app. Of course, you can enjoy the program on YouTube. You should know that by now. But if you don't, search for 97.3 The Fan. You can watch the proceedings. I got a couple of things, guys. One is something that was really good, and then the other was kind of a negative. Where do you want me to go? Which one do you want to start with, Scrape?
What are we talking about?
Yeah,
we're talking my personal experiences. From the end of last night's show to the beginning of this one.
Let's go negative first.
Yeah.
Negative, woke up, got in the car today. The emergency light was on. And
your car is new.
Yeah, no, I know. It turned out that it was the tires pressure needed to be checked.
That's not big.
It had gone all. It's big because there's a big nail in my tire.
Okay.
And I'm not pleased by that. And the tires,
yeah.
Here's my thing. I don't know if you're a tire person out there. Maybe you can help me with a little advice. I got brand new tires. I looked up the, got the receipt out. And, of course, I bought them 1 year and 1 month ago. And I'm
so
just worried that it's a one-year warranty. You know what I'm saying? So
course.
I'm really hoping that.
It's usually.
You think I'll get
a little
grace period?
It's like a mileage thing, like 60,000 miles or
well,
whatever.
It's time or mileage.
Yeah,
sometimes.
I think it's usually whichever comes first, whichever benefits them the most.
Are these the dealership tires?
They are.
Oh, okay.
I'm hoping they stand behind their product. I'm telling you, dealer out there, my dealership, you better stand behind your product. I'm bringing the car in the morning.
Well, why did you run over that nail?
Yeah, that's my fault. My fault. But here's the... Go ahead.
You got to be more careful.
Yes, right. I can't wait for Lori to tell me that. Honey, you got to watch. Like, yeah, right. You can see every nail in the roadway. She'll say it, though. Don't you put it past her. Here's the cool thing that happened last night. Hats off, rather, to my Thursday night softball team, the One Hit Wonders. That's our name. I don't talk much about our softball, except when you get a game like this. It's co-ed league, but we played a team last night that takes things far too serious, right? Mm. One of those teams, like taking out our girl second baseman on a double play, like stuff that we're almost getting ready to start fights on, and just screaming and yelling. And
are you kidding me?
It was really annoying. Anyway, what was more annoying was that they were leading us 20-8 going into the bottom of the last inning. We hung a 14 spot on them and beat their behinds.
Chris almost went somewhere else.
Congrats. Thanks to, I think it was Jason, our slugger, provided the walk-off blow.
Wow.
And we scored 14. And we kind of got together before the last at bat. And we said, you know what, guy? We never win a game like this. We're down by 12. But if we ever were going to do it, this would be the team to do it against.
Yeah.
And then it happened. So we're pretty excited
last
night.
Were there any trash talking from you towards them after?
Me personally?
No, well, the team.
The only thing I said was when we got the walk-off home run is that we should really celebrate and jump up and down a little extra. And one of the guys on our team said, no, let's handle it, with class. And I said, since when did we start doing that?
Exactly.
Come on. Let's
You're
rub it in a little bit.
Wonders.
Let's rub it in a little bit. So that was nice. Good job by those guys, our guys. All right, we are rolling along here. Mike Schilt was on the morning show with Ben and Woods, and a few things that he talked about that I thought you'd enjoy listening. First up, how he and the Padres are approaching this series against a Dodger team that, as we pointed out earlier, Tony and I, has given the Padres a lot of problems and everybody problems.
We can't ignore the fact it's a rival. There's competition. We're right down the road. We can't ignore that. We won't even try to ignore it. We'll actually embrace it. Personally, and we just play baseball, man. We're going to play regardless of who shows up on the schedule, and we're going to prepare to win the game regardless of who's on the schedule. We're going to compete again, regardless of who the opponent is. And we're going to respect our opponent, and we're not going to make it any bigger than it is. Yeah. Was it, going to have a little more, different energy playing in LA, in that stadium. And, clearly, and respect what they've been able to accomplish. But, I think it's a real trap to make it anything bigger than it is. And it's really about how we compete. And if you look up at the end of the night and, we get after it for the whole entire game, and we have good offensive at-bats and handle our situations and execute and play clean defensively and throw strikes and make our pitches, at the end of the day, we'll feel pretty good about being able to shake hands. And that's what our goal is every game against any opponent.
I think that's pretty much really the way players and managers and teams go about it all the time, Tony.
Yeah.
But we fans certainly don't go about it that way, right? I mean, to us, it's a little extra special playing the Dodgers. And, we've been licking our wounds here for a long time. We said, I'm not going to say it again, but 13 years is a long stretch of losing a season series. So, I'd love to see the Padres get it turned a little bit this year. And, just tap the Dodgers on the shoulders this weekend and remind them that we're here.
I think overall, from a team standpoint, you have to kind of look at it the way that Mike is looking at it, right? Kind of have to compartmentalize it. But I'm sure, and we know that because we just heard from Joe. They know what's up. They certainly don't like coming in here and getting whooped. And so, regardless of whether the team idea is, as we go, lace them up and go out here and play no matter who's on the schedule, there is, they all know that there's a little bit of, you know, a little more oomph to this series with the Dodgers versus what it was with the Giants, or what it was against the Cardinals or Cubs for that matter. It's just, it's a little different.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about it, I think, a little later in the Big Five, because I looked ahead at Scraby's notes. But the fact that the schedule is different now in Major League Baseball,
I mean,
you really only get to go to L.A. After this, like, you won't get to go to L.A. again until who knows when, right? August, September. You don't have the same number of games against your divisional foes as you used to have. And so I think it makes every game feel a little bit more important. All right, here's a subject I'm curious to get your take on too, Tony. Fernando Tatis getting brushed back the other day. He hit the home run, what was it, Monday night, I think, in the comeback.
Yes.
And he had been thrown, I don't want to say he was moved off the plate before he hit that home run. Get brushed back on Wednesday. I get this from people. I think you do too, Scraby. That we, as the Padres, you know, all of a sudden these people put themselves on the roster. But we don't retaliate enough. And I don't know where that stands with Mike Schilt. So here's what he said about Fernando getting brushed back.
I don't know what they show during the games. I don't go back and watch the games. They don't need to show me ever. But I've said my piece. I'm not going to run the field and start, throwing blows yet. But I think I made it pretty clear in some circles, that we're not going to tolerate that. So we'll always defend our guy, but there's different ways that gets done. But there's been some dialogue that allows people to know we don't appreciate it.
What does that even mean?
Yeah, I can clear that up or as best you can, Tony, because I don't quite sure what he's getting at. Is there another area where that he and other teams can kind of have dialogues about this kind of stuff? Or
I think, Schulte is a manager. They talk to each other. They talk to coaches on the staff. And, you can send words through different channels now. I mean, for crying out loud, there's a text message. I mean, you definitely, because, hey, man, however that goes, right?
Yeah.
I think it's a balance that Mike is very, I think, sensitive to. I mean, he's had guys in the past that were of the ilk of Fernando, and you want to protect those guys. But I think also he recognizes that is how teams have to pitch them if they want to have any success in getting him out. They got to pitch him in. They got to make him uncomfortable so they can throw that slider off the plate. When it becomes dangerous or when it becomes something that is of concern, trust me, Mike Schilt is going to either he's going to be yelling it from across the other dugout, or he's going to, do it a more diplomatic way and do it through other channels. And so, that's just kind of how this game goes. As he said, he is. There are ways that those things get handled, whether people like it or not, that, kind of nip things in the bud, so to speak.
Do you personally, Tony, watching as much, everybody, do you think the Padres get the short end here? I mean, I don't feel that way. I mean, I don't know that every inside pitch deserves, a ball at somebody's head.
No, it doesn't.
So you have to be able to, pick your spots, right?
It doesn't. You got to pick your spots. What helps in picking your spots? Either being really bad or being really good in terms of wins and losses. Like, when you're getting your butt kicked every night, you don't care about wins and losses, so you can take more risk. When you're really good, you have some room for error to kind of make these decisions a little more quickly, if you will.
Yeah.
But, when you kind of can't afford to, when you have no or little room for error, margin for error, you got to be more strategic in when you go about those type of things.
Well, I get this question too. Do you get it more than I do? A lot, Scraby, too?
About the throwing at guys?
Yes. I feel like people are concerned about this, and I don't know why they are.
I feel like I used to get that question a lot more.
Okay.
I think they know what you're going to say at this point, which is, because you've shared your opinion so many times on the show.
No, I just think that people, I don't think it's, the Padres are viewed in the same light that they used to be viewed in, which is that you could just walk all over them. I think that perception has changed a little bit, which is why, you know, I don't think people feel the need to ask that question as much. But certainly in terms of Toddy, you know, you got to, as Mike said, you got to handle it the way you got to handle it.
I think the one at bat last year that people wanted everyone to go nuts was when Manny took it in the back. You know, he took the fastball by the Pirates
pitcher. The Pirates guy, yeah.
And Manny got, like, he dropped the bat because it obviously hurt.
Yeah, it got him good.
It got him good. And I think that's where people are kind of upset that there wasn't any sort of energy towards defending him.
The problem in today's game is that, especially now in the National League, is that everybody wanted the DH. Part of the thing that prevented pitchers from hitting guys in the National League is because they had to pick up a bat, and they knew it, which is why there was less of it happening in terms of, you know, guys throwing at guys or getting too funny with going up and in, right? Because they knew, man, I'm going to have to pick up this bat, and, you know, I'm going to be subject to the same treatment, you know, when I get that bat. Now pitchers don't have to, they don't have to ever hit. So there is less repercussion or I should say self evaluating for pitchers as there was before.
I would say that is an excellent point times 10. Because, I mean, honestly, think about it. If you're a pitcher, you're like, am I going to hit this guy? Because when I go up to bat, that's going to hurt. you're going to think twice.
Yeah,
and there's no reason to think twice now if you're a pitcher.
Now, listen, bullpen guys are a little bit different, right, because they may not ever hit.
Right.
But certainly starters that were doing it, we had less of it because they eventually had to grab that bat and stand in that box.
You got it, Tony. Good call.
Anthony on the chat, who we met at Scrabinator night, says, or that time Joe Kelly threw at Tatis and called him the B word. I do remember that.
Yeah, Joe Kelly's well liked around here.
That was a little much.
You wanted to run out of the stands on that one.
I was ready. I don't even remember when that happened. If it was in Korea, I was ready to fly there.
I've heard on a good source that Joe Kelly is the type of person that, although he appears to be, you know, skinny, is like a maniac. Like, and will fight his own teammates if he has to.
Oh, that does, like, not surprise me.
My man is not, I don't think he's all there. So, you know.
Well, I don't disagree with you.
And Tony has that on excellent authority.
Yes. And guess what? He certainly wasn't going to have to pick up a bat either. So, yeah. You know.
That's true.
I don't know.
Someone needs to just plunk him anyway.
This story just popped down. Some 21-year-old third baseman playing in AA for the Brewers got hit in the face by a 94-mile-per-hour fastball the other night. And he has multiple facial fractures. Mm. Interesting that that story just came up and we're talking about all this. Got to be careful out there. All right. Hour number two of Gwen and Chris includes the Daily Gambit. Also includes our countdown today. If you've never heard Tony Gwynn Jr. sing, do not miss it. It's coming up on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season, but this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.